the choices you made. The Father still hears every prayer that a broken heart prays. Just when you thought you could somehow outrun him, you chased down my mercy and you proved there is nothing that his blood can't cover and his arms can't reach to redeem. Oh, just when you thought you exhausted his kindness, his gentle compassion pulls you out of hiding. Just when you thought that his grace somehow reached the end, and his arms can reach to redeem. Oh, just when you thought you exhausted his kindness, his gentle compassion pulls you out of hiding. Just when you thought that his grace somehow reached the end, to find you're forgiven.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the Lord and his presence among us and his willingness to to just bless this little group. We thank him for that. And you know, it would make a bit of difference how much effort we put in all the world if the Lord's presence was not here to be with us and to just let his presence be known. Well, it just wouldn't be worth much at all. But so we just know that he is the one that makes it all happen, and we appreciate him being among us. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord and hear the testimonies of how the Lord has moved and worked. So we believe that he'll continue to be with us in this service this morning. Go ahead and let's open our Bibles. We're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul speaking says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then I'd like to read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, as you'll have it on the board. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then one more scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." I want to pray just for a moment. Lord, we're so thankful for this day and for this opportunity and this people, Lord, that it's your sheep. We're just so happy to be here together. And Lord, just to be able to be in your presence and to be able to speak on the things and hear the things and just worship you, Lord, just to see your spirit move among us. We love you, Lord, and we're just asking, God, that you'd take this service into your hands this morning. Lord, that you would have spoken what you want to be spoken, and Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us in the pathway that you would have us to go, and that you would speak to every heart in a way that only you can do. Lord, we are just mere humans, mortals, but in surrendering to you, Lord, we know that it gives you opportunity just to change lives, and that's what we're here for, and that's what we ask, God, that you would just be among us this morning. Take this service into your hands now. And bless every heart. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord's good to us. So we read here in this scripture where we read in Romans, "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." And we should... second verse, "And let every one of us please his neighbor for the good to his edification." And you know, to edify is to build up. And so, you know, we see in this scripture that the thing that I'm wanting to draw from here is that we are not, in this life, we're not supposed to be trying to live to please ourselves. As the scripture said, even Christ did not please himself. That means that there was a certain portion of him, a certain side to him as a human, that he would like to have been able to prop his feet up and relax, right? But he had to resist what things would be pleasing to him in the natural, that he might fulfill the will of God. Yeah. And so the scriptures is telling us here that we're not to be living this life to please ourselves. And I know that that probably sounds kind of rough, and but it's the truth. We're not here. And don't get me wrong, I believe that a Christian in obedience to God is one of the happiest people in the world, okay? Don't get me wrong. But if we're seeking to please ourselves, chances are we're probably not going to be following after and seeking to please God, and we're probably not going to be living for others. And so we know that Brother Bram tells us that to look Calvary in the face is to live for others, right? To be a sacrifice. And so the thing I wanted to draw from this scripture is that is we ought not to be living for ourselves. Our purpose here on this in this life is not to be living for ourselves. But really, ultimately, it's to be living for God, and it's to live to our purpose is to express the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, really, I know that we've talked about it in the past. You're familiar with the expression, the holy image of God. Our responsibility here on this earth, especially now, in this end time, after there's been a message come, our purpose and our job as the bride of Christ, as redeemed subjects of God underneath this message, is to express the holy image of God, which, you know, in my mind, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he has been revealed to us in this time, you see standing by his side is his bride, yeah. Right? So the revelation of Jesus Christ tells you who she is, who he is, what their relationship is, and how he come to be, yeah. Right? And so our responsibility here in this life is not just to have fun for ourselves and do the things that we want to do and be happy and seek after all the things that makes us feel good. Right. But our purpose is to seek after everything we can to do our best to reveal Jesus Christ in our lives, to reveal that holy image of God. And so we're familiar with this quote in Christ is the Mystery of God. We quote it all the time when Brother Bram said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse, every line, every scripture, go back and read it again because you've read it wrong, yeah. Right? From the beginning all the way to the Amen in Revelation, he said it's all speaking of Jesus Christ. And if we read that and we don't see him, we're reading it wrong because he is the central theme of the entire Bible, right? Jesus Christ is the central theme. He's the main purpose, main theme of the entire scripture from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation is Jesus Christ. And of course, with that revelation at the end time, you find out his bride is there also. She is that same revelation coming forth. It's been a mystery all this time. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And so that's what the deal is. But when he says, You got to read these scriptures, and if you don't see Jesus there, you've done it wrong. You've read it wrong. Right. And so what I want to express to you is another kind of a little, not a twist on that, but and that is this, that if we live out an expression, if we live out an event, if we go through and we express a certain something and we have not expressed Jesus Christ, go back and express it again because you've done it wrong.
Right?
Right? And that's what I'm talking about. Not to please ourselves, even though it says to please our neighbor, but if you look at edifying, is to build up. The purpose is to build up for the edifying of their soul. So our job is not just to live for somebody to make them feel good in the flesh. Our job is to live in such a way as a sacrifice that it's causing edification in those around us, that their soul, that their walk, that they're being drawn closer to God. Right? Because to bless them just physically in some physical sense, that passes away, has no eternal value.
Right.
So our purpose here is to live for him in such a way that through the expression of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to use this interchangeably, the expression of the holy image of God, that when people see that, it brings edification to their walk, to their soul, and brings them closer to God. Everything else is out. Right? So we might enjoy a good meal, we might be able to go places and things like that, but if in what we do every day, in every word or deed we do all in the name of Jesus Christ, in other words, in everything we do to be expressing him, and if we're not expressing him, we're doing it wrong.
Right?
Right? It's vain. He said they worship in vain. So it's in vain. We go through all this and find out it didn't point to Jesus Christ at all. So when you want to do something, you feel, oh, you just can't get away from it. I want this, or I want to do that, or I want. Stop and ask yourself: Is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the holy image of God, is that being expressed through here, or if by doing this, am I pulling away from that, expressing something else? And if it's not expressing Jesus Christ, we probably should stop and think about it and say, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this. Because our purpose is to please him and to express him.
Amen.
So now the holy image of God is the man, the husband, and the wife. Remember that was the husband and the wife in unity together. That's the holy image of God.
And the reason why it's that way is because, you know, God was lonely. And he wants to have a family. He wanted to have a wife. He wanted to have this family. And so when he made Adam and Eve on the earth, or made Adam on the earth, and here's Adam, and Adam was to be on earth an expression in this world what God was in eternity. And so when all the animals come by and all this Eden and everything's so perfect, and here's Adam and he names everything and he's God on earth and everything's fine. That wasn't the image. You know why? Because he was lonely.
Yeah.
He was lonely because God was lonely.
Right.
So that wasn't a perfect image. That wasn't the holy image of God, because he was, even though she was in him, and obviously her in him would be in unity, right? But that wasn't what he wanted. That was not satisfying the loneliness. So the thing was, is that female part of him had to be brought out and then brought back to him in the form of wife. And then them two coming back together in fellowship and in unity, there's your holy image.
Yeah.
Right? Not him by himself with her all tied up in there, but the revelation of her coming forth and being redeemed back to him and then being in unity where they're in total agreement. Now when you look at that, that's the holy image of God. Not a disagreement, right? Her part of him brought back to him and in unity with him. Not somebody else brought to him and in unity with him, but her who was him all along through a divine act of separation and a divine act of bringing back through holy matrimony, and now they're together in unity, and that's your holy image of God, right? And I say that because that's what we are. As the bride of Christ here today, we are to be expressing the revelation of that holy image, and that is us in total surrender to everything that he is.
Amen.
And not in disagreement with him in any fashion whatsoever, in anywhere. And since he is the scriptures, the central theme from beginning to end, then all the word is, it's for us to be brought back to that word and to be in unity with him, the living word, no disagreement whatsoever. And then when that happens, that male and that female together in unity, he can change the whole world with that.
Right?
Right? That's the holy image of God. And that's what we're supposed to be living out and expressing in this day.
Amen.
So, when you find this, when you find this revelation, or this, when you find the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is and what you are, and you enter into that, in that mode, you'll be the best fathers for your family that you could ever be. You'll be the best husband, the best moms, the best wives. So, but what I'm trying to show you here is not just from instructions. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. And once I can do all this, then I'll be that image. What I'm saying is you seek that revelation and enter into that truth and let that come into you and then go express. You're going to be expressing that holy image by revelation, not by do's and don'ts and not by this and that and I can and I can't, but by a living life, a living relationship that you're in intertwined with, and it's what's in you. And that's what you live. And when you reach that point, you say, I want to be the best dad, best father of my family that I can be. And I got to do this, this, and this, and this. And what I'm telling you is, you get into the revelation of Jesus Christ so that in your fellowship, he comes down into you and he's Father through you.
Uh-huh.
Then every action you take will be the best action that could ever be taken for your family, because it's him in you, because you've surrendered to him. He is your leadership. He is the word. And you've surrendered to that. And through your surrender, he now lives in you. And he'll be the best daddy, the best mom, the best son, best daughter, best Christian that there can be. Why? Because he don't make mistakes. And to the capacity that we can yield ourselves to him, that's the same capacity that he can live lives through us without mistake.
That's right.
That's right. And so that's what we want. We want to be that expression of Jesus Christ. Now this comes by revelation. The seven seals being opened up to us in this end time has brought this revelation to us, as I said a while ago. It's brought it to us, and for the first time in all history, because now we have that revelation, we can enter into it, and it can begin to live through us. That's never been before. See? Through understanding who he was through the ages, and how he was God in a mystery and then revealed in Christ and how his bride was in here and then she's going to be revealed. And all this that we know is the message that has become so common to us. Brothers and sisters, the world don't have this. And we do, and we should not let it become common because this is the thing. This is the thing that God has brought that's going to give us rapturing faith, that's going to take us out of here. This is the thing that makes us the bride of Christ if we enter into unity with it. But if we don't, it makes no difference how much you sing and how much you know. If you don't enter into that and let him live through you, you're not the bride of Christ. Right? You can say, oh, I see all of it, but you're not in unity with it.
Right.
See? So there's an entering in that we have to do, and it's not do's and don'ts and this and that. It's entering into a fellowship with him that he just lives through you. And you know what? He don't need do's and don'ts because he doesn't have a desire to do something wrong anyway.
Right.
He's perfect. Mm-hmm. So just get next to him, get into him where he's living in you, and then everything will be fine. And so this is the first time in all history that we could truly do what Jesus would do. They say WWJD, we talk about that. What would Jesus do? You know, the world gets their little things, you know, because they kind of catch glimpses of what God's doing, you know. Like the uniting time. The purpose of the Spirit being poured out to unite was to get bride of Christ and Christ to unite. And guess what? All the rest of the world's underneath that. And they start uniting and big corporations. And now one or two corporations own everything. Right? There's great power in that. But that's what it is. And so, you know, that's what the uniting is for. And so we truly have now entered into a time that we, by the revelation, can do what Jesus would do. And so I'm going to say it this way. What would Jesus do? Let's take these young men here. We have one here that's in college. What would Jesus do? If Jesus was attending the University of Arkansas,
yeah,
and was faced with everything this young man is faced with, mm-hmm, right? Up against the same challenges, all the same people around him, all the same activities going on, all the same opportunities to follow after sinful things and do what's right and do what's wrong and all that. When Jesus would come down and live in his flesh, what would he do? And I will tell you, that's exactly what this young man should do,
right,
is what Jesus would do when Jesus had the same circumstances he is. And so I would ask you, can you take Jesus Christ and stick him in anybody's condition and it be so bad that he's going to fail? It won't happen. See, so there's your mark. There's the pressing toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus is to let me surrender in such a way that it's him going to class every day.
Right.
It's him that's being faced with all these things every day. That it's him that lives out, and when that's happening, then we won't be living something wrong.
Right.
We won't be making wrong decisions. We won't be going to wrong places, mm-hmm, thinking the wrong thoughts, saying the wrong things.
That's right.
Right? We won't be trying to chase after things we shouldn't be chasing after. We'd be doing what he would do.
Amen.
If he's in your same situation, if he's a housewife and he's in the same situation you're in with the kids and they're unruly and whatever's going on, what would he do?
Yeah.
See, and that's where you want to be. So that it's him living in you. So we truly now, because as I said, this happens because of the revelation. See, if we don't know who Jesus is, he's to be our leadership, our Lord. He's to be the one we're making. If we don't know who he is, how can we live it?
Right?
Right? If we don't know who the bride is, how can she live it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So God had to bring clarity to us as to who this man was, who this woman was, how they come together and what this holy union is and how they live in that union. How did they get there in that union? See? So he had to bring clarity to that. And that clarity to that came through an end time message to take this Bible, make it become alive, and shine it in such a way that we truly understand. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that's been brought to us. And so now, because of that, now we can put into flesh the thing that was hid all these years. that there's never been an opportunity for a church to be what she can be now because it hadn't been given. But now it has been given.
Right.
Now the revelation has come. What are you doing with it? How is your life acting out every day? Are we still living to please ourselves, or is our number one goal is to enter into that and let Him live through me, even if that means I can't be too comfortable in the flesh to do it? Right? So, we can truly do that. And that is our challenge. That is our challenge today. To be that bride in unity with Him. Now, since the image, the holy image of God as husband and wife in unity, that's the thing that Satan attacks. Right? Male, female, husband and wife. So, that was the holy image. Where he was correct, she was correct, their union was correct. And then God can be seen in that. That's the holy union. And you know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. So if you live for Him, it'll bring edification.
Yeah.
But you got to say no to your flesh to do it. And so there's that holy image. And that's what the world needs to see. So Satan attacks that and says, I've got to destroy that image. Right? So if he can destroy Christ, if he can make Christ confusing. We don't know where there's one God, two God, three gods, five gods. We don't know who He is. We don't know whether to pray to the Father, pray to the Son, pray to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right? When he does that, you don't even know who He is. So now where's your holy image at?
Right.
Who is she married to? Well, I don't know. Was it the Father or was it the Son? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus was Son of God, but then He said He was born by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right? It's revelation. It's a revelation that lets you see this. But they mess it all up. So now nobody knows, is he deity or is he not deity?
Yeah.
Now if you go out into the church world and you listen to their theology, you'll find that he was just a man. You'll find all kinds of things.
Right.
Like the woman said to Brother Branham, well, he wasn't divine. Right?
Yeah.
Sure he was. So you understand, if we can just destroy the revelation in the minds of the people of what Christ was or what He is, if they can destroy that so that they believe the wrong thing, there's no holy image now. Because now the church doesn't know how to unite. They're trying to unite with something that's not Christ. Right? So there's no holy image and no divine move of God where people are coming in because they see that image. Nobody's being edified because that image is not on display. Why? Because it's been messed up. The male figure has been attacked. He's no longer masculine. He's now feminine. Right? So you can't have it. See why Satan attacked it? So then maybe you got Christ. He's correct and that's okay. But then you make questions come about who the church is. Who is this bride? Is she Baptist? Is she Methodist? President? Is it this? You know what? Who is it? And now you got the same thing. You can't have the holy image if one or the other is all messed up. Because the holy image is Christ and His bride in unity as husband and wife. So a lot of Satan says, let's do what we can to destroy that. Let's make it where people don't know who Christ is. We don't know who this man is that's going to be here in Eden with his wife. Or let's make it where they don't know what church is and what this holy union is. Let's just make it where nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
And by doing that, then the holy image is not on display.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he'd go out and let's just attack that. Let's just do that. Well, in order for that man to be the kind of man he's supposed to be, then Satan could stop that man from being that portion of the holy image if he goes all the way back here and from birth he starts attacking that man with wrong experiences and wrong teachings and wrong things. And so if you get the man starting off wrong, when he gets to that adult, he won't be the right kind of image, right? Because Satan has attacked it from birth, through culture, through everything that is experienced. Let's make this young man be something told and get him to chase after things that isn't right. And so he'll never come to that holy image because he's all messed up.
Yeah.
Same way with her. Let's get her from birth And let's make sure she's not taught right, that it's not presented to her correctly, and that she doesn't have all the things in place that she should have. And she'll never come to that place where she can be that virtuous bride if we can destroy that. See what I mean? And therefore, no holy image on display. Amen. So that's what he attacked. Everything leading up to that man and that woman is under attack.
Right.
So nobody knows. But God said here at the end time, he'd bring the revelation. He would bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that would reveal him and her both. It would reveal their union. It would reveal how they were taught and brought all the way up. I'm going back and forth between Christ as his bride and us as individuals and the way our children, the way we were raised. Because it's a type. All right? So the revelation of Jesus Christ had come in the end time and show us and reestablish to us what this is and reestablish to them the proper way to bring children up so that they become that proper image of God. So that as they're approaching this union, that they know how to seek out for that one that's for them. That she knows how to seek out and how they know how to come and let God lead them to each other and let God establish so that God brings them together. And then when God does it, man can't put us under, right? A holy union to find out that even though, like my wife, I didn't know her. But God did.
Yeah.
And she come from me. Mm-hmm. Spiritually. Right? She part of me.
Yeah.
Spiritually. See? And so how would I know? I don't know. By the grace of God, he brings us together. But the message has come to fix all this nonsense.
Yeah.
To fix it so that, and by the way, I want to call this a little series we're doing, Live Right. How to Live Right. Because the only way that you can live right and live what we're supposed to is through this revelation of Jesus Christ, where God has come in this end time and by these truths has reestablished the right way to bring up and bring forward everything so that everybody becomes that holy image uniting with Christ the Word, which is expressed through physical beings like the husband and wife of the home. That's a holy image representing Christ in the church. And members of that Christ, of his church, they'll live in such a way that they are holy images in the natural, showing what he is and she is in the spiritual. Right? Brother Ram talked about the worldly church and members of such. That's the women that are members of the worldly church. They're the ones that dress the way they do and modest and all that.
Yeah.
Members of that kind of church. But what about the members of the bride of Christ? What do men and women out in the bride of Christ, how do they act? How do they respond? How do they bring up their children? What do they spend their time doing?
Right.
And what I'm telling you today is that they're what they spend their time doing is doing everything they can to be alone with Christ that he might live and be fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters through them.
Yeah.
That's their purpose. So Satan attacks it and he does this, but a message has come to bring these truths back. Now, you know, God has an order to his kingdom. We know scripture is very clear on this, but so you have God, you have Christ, Jesus, you have the husband, you have the wife, you have the children, right? Nobody argues about that, even though church world, even the world out there knows that's the way it is. And so God has this order for his kingdom and for his household. In other words, in your home, there's an order. Christ is head of that home. God, the eternal spirit living through Christ the expression is leadership to that daddy. Daddy is the leadership to the wife and to the children and the wife to the children. Right? There's that hierarchy. We've talked about this before. And so if we'll turn to Matthew chapter 8, read a few scriptures here. We're familiar with this, but this is a good example. When Jesus would come to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. You know what a centurion is? He's a man that's over like 100, at least 100 soldiers or something like that, right? And so this man, he's a centurion, a Roman, and he was beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I'll come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." And here's this guy, and he's not Israeli, he's a Roman. And yet he recognizes, and he says, "I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but you know what? You just speak and it'll happen. And let me tell you how I know this is going to happen," is what I'm paraphrasing. "Let me tell you, I know this will happen, and here's how I know." So the centurion, he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou come on my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And here's why: for I am a man under authority." He had somebody over him, right? "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers and having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth; and to another, cometh, and he cometh; and to my servant, doeth this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So this guy wasn't the children of Israel. He was a Gentile. And yet Jesus said, you know what? This guy's got a concept. This guy understands something. This guy has faith in a concept. Right? He has faith in something. And Jesus is pointing to this and said, this is awesome. This man's got faith like I hadn't found nowhere in Israel. You mean Israel with all the prophets and all the mighty signs and wonders and all that? Yeah, that one. I hadn't found this kind of faith in that. So if you want to outdo that, find this kind of faith. And he says, "I ain't found such faith." And here was what his faith was. He said, "I'm a man under authority, and I have people underneath me. I'm in authority. And I understand that when I tell them to do something, they do it. And you know what? When my boss tells me what to do, I do it. And I know that you have authority over all this." Right? "I know that you have authority. You don't even have to come over. You just speak it." And Jesus marveled, said, you know what? Look at this. So the concept here is this man in authority. He understands the way this works. He's in a position of authority, and he says, "I can say to my servants, you do thus, and they go do it." Why? Because he's in authority over them. But the reason... And the thing I want to get to is and you probably remember, it's been probably a while, but we've talked about this in the past. But the way to be successful in authority over those that are underneath you is for you to be submissive to your authority.
Right.
For you to surrender to that leadership over you, and through the capacity, how much you can surrender and do what they give to you as instruction. Then you turn around and you go forth with those instructions, and you hand off to those underneath you that same instructions. You're getting done what your leadership wants, and they're going to carry it out, and it's through you. And your success at being in authority over people is to the same capacity that you are to your authority. Right? So do you understand the way that works? So I have... my boss at work, we have a work order system, and there's a man that used to be locally. He was one of the men that interviewed me when I interviewed for a job, and this man has eventually over the years became engineering manager here locally, and then he's moved all the way up, the ladder, And now he lives up in Wisconsin, but he's higher up the ladder in a bigger company, and he's way up the chain. And, you know, he used to be locally and put work orders in, and we would carry those things out. So here's a man, and he put a work order in for my guys, for us, my department, to do a certain thing. And my immediate boss comes to me. His name is Don. So Don comes to me, and he says, "You take that work order, that this man put in, and you put it at the bottom of the list. Lowest priority. Now, he has a reason for doing that. He's not being, this is not to get into politics or nothing like that, but he said, put it at the bottom of the list. Okay? And so then I go, and to my team, we have a team meeting every Wednesday morning, and I'm like, put that one on the bottom of the list. Now, they could go, oh, are you serious? That's Mr. Benson. He put that in. You better get to that right now. But I'm like, nope. You know why? Because my authority said don't give it that attention. Right. And you know what? I don't lose sleep at night worried about that. I don't worry about the fact that Mr. Benson is wanting to know why his work order has not been done and it's been months. Because I have confidence. You know what confidence I have? That my boss told me how to deal with this, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And I don't have to worry about it. And guess what? Because I surrendered to him, all those underneath me, they carry out exactly what I tell them. What if I didn't? What if I did not obey my boss and I tried to do something different? What would happen? How would that, what would that cause? Over time, when this all come out, what would that do with my guys and how would that make them feel if they knew that I wasn't even obeying my instructions? Eventually, they wouldn't obey me. Follow me? So it does matter. And so the key to being successful in a leadership position is surrender to that headship above you. That's your key. And so God has an order, right? God, Christ, husband, wife, right? On down. He established that order. We didn't, right? And so every person on the rung of this order of the kingdom, order of your household, every person has a responsibility to interact with those other in other positions accordingly to this order. So my boss does not go past me and go right down to my guys and give them instructions because that's not the order. He comes right down through the chain. Right? And God's the same way. Christ, he had a messenger for the age, right? Has a pastor of the church. Has the, you follow me? So you have a household and you got daddy. Well, daddy's not standing there just speaking his own words. If he's of God, he's trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. He's trying to follow the word. And to the capacity that he follows that word is to the capacity of the success he'll be in all those that are underneath him. By his surrender to that word. You follow me on that, see? So, our capacity to lead is only equivalent to our capacity to follow. And even Paul said that, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? So if we want to live out the revelation of Jesus Christ, if we want to live out the holy image of God, what's the best way to do that? Surrender to it. Right? But if we don't surrender to this glorious revelation that has so, by God's grace, has come to us, if we don't surrender to all that, and I'm on plow mode, and I mean to be, right? That if we don't do that, then you can expect there to be all kinds of problems beneath you in your home and in your life and in your children and your wife. And as it goes on, all because the breakdown was up here, right? And you can take that and fit it anywhere. So let's say daddy, he's straight with the word and he tells mama, this is the way it is, but she's the one that doesn't obey. Then everything underneath her messes the whole family up, right? She's the backbone of the nation. Why? Because she's the one that raises all them kitties, and them kitties will always follow mommy. That's right. Because her nature, they all love mommy. Not that they don't love dad, but you follow me. Mom's, like Brother Ram said, mom was that king post or whatever. She was that one that held it all together. Even after daddy was gone, but mama was in when she went, they all, how many seen that? Daddy, grandpa died, grandma's still, they all come in, and then when grandma's gone, they all just go different ways. Right? And so, the topic here, what I'm pointing here to is to be successful in what you've been called to do. You've been called to be a mother. You've been called to be a dad, a father, a brother, a sister, whatever. You've been called and you've been given authority over things. And the only way that you can be successful in that is by your surrender to that which is your authority, which is the Word. So dads has a responsibility to stay true to the Word. And then if he's of God, he'll only be echoing that which is the Word, and he'll echo that to the wife, and the wife will echo that to the children. Right? Don't expect mommy to say something different than the Word if she's obeying daddy and daddy's obeying the Word. So if we want to live the revelation, if we want to change lives and edify others to the enhancement of their own walk with God and their own soul, surrender. Surrender more. So we are to surrender. Not to the confusion of the holy image that has been dealt out by Satan. Not the confusion of how they grow and everything's all messed up to come to that and it's all messed up because the whole thing's rotten. Not that. But to the thing that's been delivered in this last day to correct all that in our mind and in our walk. Surrender to that. Not to culture, not to religious systems of the church world, not to your friends. See, that's not what, God didn't come through that. He brought a message to straighten us out, and that is our leadership, the living Word for the day. That's our leadership. That's husband over the church, if you will. It's Christ. And the church's responsibility as a wife is to be in uniting with him totally. And so that he and she are that holy image. But that's a spiritual thing that in the natural, the husband is that Christ of the home. And she's to be in unity with that. He is her headship. So we got to come to that. Not the culture. Not everything else is trying to make it confusing. But to run just as hard as we can to lay before God and say, God, I need the revelation. I want to understand you. I want to understand that your church, our relationship with you. I want this unity with you who is the living Word for this day. Seek that. And if you have to, I'm not going to eat, drink, sleep. I'm not going to do what if I have to. Get desperate until you know that virtue is beginning to move through you and work through you more. Because when that happens, those that are beneath you and your influence will be blessed. If you'll surrender. So it's only through the surrender. And we gotta get this straight. What we're supposed to be tied to. And where our influence comes. And what we spend all of our time that our mind is consumed with, it should be Christ. It should be that holy union of God, holy image of God. So each person has their responsibility to be in their position, surrendered to their leadership, that they might live it. And by being responsible, you are responsible for that hierarchy that God has given, that structure and order of the church and order of the home. You are responsible for that, whether the culture has taught you that or not. They haven't taught that to you. But God, last time I looked, we're still living in his universe, and it's still the body he gave us, he created. It's the breath that he gives us that we're breathing. So we are responsible to be, a man is responsible to be a man. I don't care if he does look feminine. He has got a responsibility to be a man. And the woman has a responsibility to be a woman. Body, spirit, soul, the whole thing. She's to be a woman. He's to be a man. There is a difference. God said so. That's that holy image. And it would behoove us to everything we can do to run just as quickly to that and be what we're supposed to be. Men, be men. Women, be women, sisters. Be mothers. Be daddies. Right? Be that responsibility. So as the dad has a responsibility over the home to be a certain thing for that home, be that. Don't be wishy-washy and cowed down. Go to your leadership and lay before him and find out what you're supposed to be as a daddy, and then you be that. And even if your whole family walks away from you, you be that. You do it. Same way with sisters. Brother Rim said, sisters, you serve God by serving your husband. Think of it. This society wants to tell us that, oh, this order, I know it's there, but it really don't matter. It does matter. Because it's Christ and then the husband and then the wife, and you're serving God up here by serving the next level above you, who is his servant. Right? So from that concept, children, you want to serve God? Obey your parents. Obey mommy. Obey daddy. While you're under their home and under their leadership, obey them if you want to please God. And don't think that you're pleasing God if you're disobedient to your parents, because you're not. Right. And wives, if you don't obey your husband, don't think that you're pleasing God, because you're not. You can speak in tongues and shout and run all over the church, but if you don't obey your husband, you're not in the will of God. That's Brother Ram said so. Right? And husbands, don't think that if you're shirking your responsibility and you're not being what you should be as a male and as all the things that we're going to get into in this series of what he is, if you're not doing that, don't think that you're pleasing God because you pay your tithes and you go to church and maybe even read a scripture each day with your family or something. If you're not being everything he's called you to be, you're not pleasing God, because it's his structure. Okay? It does matter. The world will tell you, well, that's male chauvinist. You tell that to God. Because in God's economy, that man is your protection. Right? Just like mommy's protection to the children. Right? If you follow the concept. That man is her protection. And without him, if you push him to the side, if you don't obey that leadership, you are vulnerable and Satan's going to get you. Because you are a weaker vessel. And men, because she's that weaker vessel, and you understand that you are to be her protector, protect her. Do what you're supposed to do to protect her. In every way that you know Satan's going to try and get her, you block that. How do you block it? How do you successfully protect her? Is by surrender to the word. Everything the word says about daddies, to be men with hair on their chest, so to speak, with backbone. Be that. That's how you'll protect her, by not deviating from the word of God. And if we're not doing that, then we're not pleasing God. Now I realize lots of mistakes have been made in all of our lives. But this is a time to make it right. This is a time for us to look at this thing, and as this thing is becoming more clear, to say amen and put into action what we should be to get to that holy union. Right? That's right. So there are responsibilities we each have to hold that position. But then when we hold that position correctly by surrendering to our leadership, there's benefits. There are things that you'll have because you, why? Because you got God on your side. Why do you have God on your side? Because you've stayed with his word. Because God stays with his word. And if you stay with his word, he has to stay with you. And if you're trying to carry out his word to exactly, then you'll know that he's going to fight your battles for you. And your home, he has to be involved. If you're doing it like he said and you're carrying this out, then he has to come and be involved in down. Why? Because it's his leadership that has passed its way through you, and you're not the one stopping it. You've passed it and went right on. So each member, mothers, fathers, children, they all have a responsibility to interact with these things and be what you're supposed to be. So now, your father is to be the leader and guide of the home. A leader and a guide and a protector. Daddy, the protector, a leader, a guide to the home. He's got the ultimate voice in the family. Now, I'm talking about Christian because we're Christians, right? We're going to live for God. I'm not talking about the world out there. It's still, it's the structure is out there too, but I'm talking to Christian. Ultimately, he's the protector. In other words, when Satan wants to shower down things on top of you and get you, Daddy gets in the Word and he says, we can't allow this because it's written. Right? We cannot allow this because it's written. So he is a protector because without him, that thing come down on you and you'll think it's okay. You'll think it's just fine. But Daddy would catch it and say, that's not right. Follow me? And if you push that leadership, you push Daddy to the side, you push Mommy to the side, guess what? Satan's coming down and you're going to look at it and go, that's right. And by the way, even though you got leadership over you, Satan's still going to hit you with those things. And that's your choice. You've got to make a choice. When Satan's telling me something contrary to the Word, and I go to my mom or I go to my dad, and Daddy says, nope, we can't allow that, and you choose to go away from it anyway, you've pushed your leadership, your guide, and you will not be successful in your life going forward because you didn't surrender to leadership that was given to you by God. Right? And Satan wants to make you think this is not what's going on every day, but this is what's going on. Because he's coming in and attacking each one of you in your mind each day, and he's trying to get you to go against authority, against with the truth, against the things that God has provided in this day. We know clearly how we're supposed to do this stuff now. It's come to us. We have the teachings that come through the message that is brought to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know it, and Satan comes along and says, no, you don't have to. You can do it like the world does it. It's okay. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're just a bunch of old fogey Christians. Go ahead and do it. That's the devil. And you have to resist truth before you can believe a lie. Brother Ram said so. Right? It's true. You know what's right. You got a voice down inside. You know that's right. But you hear it coming from somewhere else, and it's enticing. And you know in your own heart that voice in you telling you, that's not right, get away from it, that's the devil, that agrees with Mommy and Daddy with the Word. You know what's going on. We're not ignorant of the devices of Satan, Scripture says. We're not ignorant of this. So we know this is what's going on. And that is your free moral choice right there. You can choose to be obedient or you can choose to go away from it. But hear the voice coming to you saying that if you reject that leadership and that Word, you won't be successful like you could be in life. You might be successful for the devil, but you won't be successful for God until you come back to where you left him. Amen. So each family has that responsibility, each member, to be that way. And so fathers are to be the protector, and he is to protect that home. And he is the watchman on the wall. And you know the watchman on the wall, he's sitting up there, and he ain't no dummy. God has given him training. You know, they put those men on the wall, and those men are trained. They can spot the runners. They know the dress. They know the stride of the horses. They know the running of a man. Read your Bible. You know, you put a guy up there, well, I don't know who that is. What good's he going to do you? He wouldn't. God's not going to give you over your home somebody that's ignorant. Now, he may not know left hand or right, but here's what I'm saying. If he's a daddy over the home, there's an intelligence that God has put in him to know something's not right. God has given him a gift of being father, watching over that. He knows something's not right here. even when he doesn't intellectually know, but he knows something is not right. Why? Because he's a watchman. God has put him there, and God has says, you know what? I make you responsible for this city. But I'm not going to put you up there and tell you you're responsible to protect this city and not give you the tools to be able to defend it. So every man has an indwelling of God in him in such a way that he can catch things that's coming that Satan is trying to send to his family. He can catch those things and know that it's not of God long before mommy, long before the children. And mommy hasn't been trained that way. And mommy, now she's got her own position, you understand. But I'm talking about her in relation to the dad over the home. He is in a position to catch things that mommy won't catch. Though she might catch many things to protect her children, but there are things she won't catch. Right? She's a weaker vessel, says God. And her husband, her leadership, is that protection. And so he's that watchman on the wall. He sees, and he can look, and he can warn. And if he doesn't warn, and the city's broke up, those people perish, it's his, their blood's on his hands. But if he does warn, if daddy does warn, this is not of God, don't partake of that, and they do it anyway, guess who's going to stand in judgment for that? Not daddy. That's right. That's right. Now, all this stuff will make sense when we enter into the revelation of Jesus Christ to know why in that revelation there's a reason why God said these things had to be this way. Men to be men, women to be women, women to be virgins until their wedding night and all the things that go with that. There's a reason why, because it all fits in the expression of that holy image of God. Take one thing out, you destroy the image. That's right. Take one thing out, you destroy that image. And that's all it takes. One word is all it takes. And it destroys it. So daddy is to be the leadership of the home. By warning, he's the watchman on the wall. And by warning, trying to keep worldlyism away from his family. And so, look at what you do, you children and you wife. Look at what you're doing. When you say, Daddy, but I want to go to the movies anyway. I want to do this. I want to have this person as my friend or something. I want this, Daddy. And Daddy's like, but it's not the word. It's contrary to the word. But Daddy, I want it anyway. Look what you're asking him to do. You're asking him, Daddy, I want you to compromise so that you will stand in shame before your God and your whole family is going to be ruined. That's what I'm asking you to do, Daddy. You may not think that's what you're asking, but that's exactly what you are asking. When you ask your mom and your dad to compromise, when you ask your husband to compromise, and he's saying, no, I don't want that in my house, and you want it anyway. And sew up and cause issues and all that, whatever it be, you fill in the blank. But when you do, you love this man? You say you love him, but yet you're asking him to stand in shame before his God? I mean, let's get real here. That's what I'm trying to do. Make it real, because I keep seeing people not embracing this message to the whole. Not having the things that God will live through them because they're not accepting it. It'll never happen in their lives. That's what I'm saying. That's what this is. When you ask daddy to compromise, when you ask mom to compromise, mama, I know daddy don't, but can we do this anyway? You're saying, mom, I want to put you in a bad situation with daddy. So that now you stand before him in shame when you have to stand someday and say, I compromised, daddy, husband, I compromised. I know you told me, but I did it anyway. I didn't think anything would happen. And now it's all messed up and everything's all. Why? Because you didn't surrender to your leadership. And it does matter. That's right. God will never, wife, God will never judge you for husband's mistakes. But he does judge the husband for what he allows the wife to do that's wrong. Think about it, honey. Think about it, wife. You're the sweetheart of this man. Really? You want to teach, you want to treat him that way? Get him to compromise so that he cannot sleep at night because he's in shame for what he's allowed because you tricked him or you sold up and he just gave in to your whims? Gave in? Was he being a man? No, he had a weak spot and you took advantage of it. I mean, this is real life. This is what happens. But we've been given a message that can change all that. And it's all through leadership, all through following these things that this voice said to us. Christ over the church, or Christ over daddy, and daddy over wife. So if daddy is that real man of God, he's going to say the same things that the prophet said, that the word says. 6 to 7 months before I ever heard the name William Branham, just by an experience with God that changed me. And my wife, tell you, I changed. Because she thought she was going to lose me to my running buddies. And then she said, I think I'm going to lose him to his God. Isn't that right? Such a change. But 6 to 7 months before I even heard the name William Branham, the experience I received that led me to this message before I ever got to it and heard about it, I knew Hollywood was wrong. Prior to that, I used to sit in front of it all the time. But I knew. I knew it was wrong. And I may have said this before, if I have or haven't, whatever you just, but give my heart to the Lord, and I had this little device that I could, on my cable, and I could watch HBO with it. And for about 4 months, not 4 months, 4 weeks, for about, I remember it was about 30 days later, that's not right, it's wrong, and I threw the thing in the trash. And somebody said to me, said, you threw it away? You know, you could get free HBO with this thing, which was stealing, right? But not only that, to be able to watch stuff like on HBO, what that was back then, what do you got now? And I gave my heart to the Lord, and right off the bat, and it began to deal with me and deal with me, and I threw the thing in the trash, and somebody said, why'd you throw it away? Why didn't you give it to somebody? Give it to somebody else so they can sin? Now let's go back to our original scripture. Let's live in a way that we can edify others. Would I edify others if I had to give that and say, here, you can watch free HBO. Steal it. Watch film. No, it was Christ in me. I put the thing in the trash. It's in the Fort Smith landfill right now. Unless they've dug it up. Right, live in a way to edify others. So why would I stand here as a pastor, or would I stand in my home and say, sure, go ahead and watch this stuff. Go ahead and do this. Go ahead and do that. I'd be a traitor. Try it. So if your leadership is right and they're staying with the word, they're going to tell you what the word says. They're not going to tell you something different than the prophet did. Right? They're not. And furthermore, because daddy is the watchman on the wall, not only is he going to take what that prophet has told you, but he's going to catch the spirit behind why it's that way. And then he's going to be able to expand out into other areas that you might think, wife and daughters and children, you might think, well, Brother Brown didn't address this. And daddy says, oh, yes, he did. And I know he did because I caught the spirit behind it. I know what he's talking about. And so I can take what he said about televisions and magazines and all, and I can apply it to your phone. I can apply it to this, and I can apply it. Why? Because he's watchman. Hear what he says. He's your leadership. Listen to him. He'll tell you the truth. And you'll know it's truth because it'll be an echo of the word. The concepts in the scriptures. The concepts of what Brother Branham gave us. The concept of staying home on Wednesday night to watch I Love Susie. I Love Lucy. Right? We look at it and say, well, there wasn't nothing wrong with that. He said there was. See? So if daddy's right, daddy's going to be telling you the same thing. But if he's compromised, he'll let it slip. Try it. And there's the destruction of your home because you deviate from the word. And so, daddy's got that responsibility, and I'm focusing on him today, but we're going to move through some more of family members, and we're going to talk about responsibilities because I think it's time. Why are we still here? You say, well, the last one's not in. How do we know that? Because the last one got to come in, but doesn't he have to come to maturity? Doesn't every member of the bride have to come to that place where when death changes them, it doesn't change only their dwelling place? So if they're going to be character to rule, they have to get it here. So even the last seed that comes in has to come to a place where he can go there and rule with character. So there is a place, a time where there's a third pool. Not third pool, what do I want to say, but souls in prison. There is a time where there's souls in prison. And nobody's getting in. The ark door is shut. And all those that are in Christ are going to be in Christ. And nobody else is getting in. And yet there's a little while going on as this thing unfolds. So you don't know. Maybe the last one of the bride is in, but hasn't come to maturity yet. Right? Okay. So dad's the watchman, and he has to speak out for these things. And I knew right off the bat Hollywood was wrong. I knew a lot of things were wrong before I ever heard it in the message. Was it because people around me were saying it? No. Because it got a different spirit in me. Something happened. Okay? Now, if what happened to me doesn't agree with the word, then that's fine. If what happens, you know, that means it's not of God. But if it is, it'll be speaking that same word that come from. And so I realized that Hollywood. And Brother Ram said, here's America, a godly nation, and Satan invaded the United States of America. And how did he do it? Through Hollywood. A religious, a people who built upon Christianity, and here they are established as a Christian nation. They still pray in the homes, and women still living godly and all these things. And how did Satan tear that down? Don't take it lightly. A prophet said, Hollywood did it. Hollywood did it. That's how it happened. You expect when there's an invasion, there's bombs and missiles and loud explosions, and everybody's like, oh no, we're being invaded. Not in this invasion. Satan come in and he did it through Hollywood, and he said, he got one over on all you churches, all you Pentecostals and so forth, because you would not go to a movie house to see a movie, but he gave you the TV and you'll sit in your living room and watch it on your TV, the same thing. He put it in the same boat. Isn't that what he said? So if back when America was a mighty nation, think of Eve and this Garden of Eden, and everything's great, yet Satan had a tool that was able to overthrow it. Here's America, a great nation, godly nation, and Satan comes in with a tool, and he's able to overthrow it. And the power of that tool is still just as real right now as it was back then when he first invaded America. That's right. You should hold that enemy out there like it and say, that's my enemy. And I'm not going to put my arm around it. I'm not going to lovey-dovey up to it. Because that guy's here to destroy me. And he might trick me. He's got it in his heart to deceive me, to trick me, make me think I'm him. He'll make me feel good and I'll enjoy everything. But he's out to get you. Don't let Satan cut it up in any other fashion. I don't care if it does have Christian movie names, Christian this, Christian that. It's the devil and he's out to get you because the Holy Ghost don't need Hollywood. He doesn't. He don't feed on it either. So if you have something, you know, I want to sit down and I want to let Hollywood entertain me tonight. That ain't God. That's you, your flesh. And we ought not to please ourselves. But we ought to live, right, for God. Live for something that's going to edify others. And so he said that was an invasion. And so TV brought it right back into the home. And I watched it. I watched them grow. As I was growing up, I watched these mothers and different ones watching the soap operas. What filth. What filth. As a kid, I didn't know. But it don't take, you know what? And I would say this. I mean, I see Christians that call themselves message believers partaking of stuff, and I'm like, how? How can this be? And I tell you how it is. Because it's not the Holy Ghost they got in them. They got religion. They got religion under the message. Because if the Holy Ghost ever come in there, he'd condemn that thing in their life. He'd say, you get that HBO thing out of here. That's right. That's what the Holy Ghost says. Brother Ram said, woman, I was reading it last night, and he said, the women should have power over head because of the angels. Think about that. That's what the scripture said. And I looked at it three different times. He was talking about that. He said, she's got to. He said, you know why? He said, because an angel is a messenger from God. And if he is an angel, a messenger from God, he's going to tell you the truth. And if he walks into a situation and he sees women with bobbed hair, he's going to strike that thing. So you better have your head covered when he walks in. So if the Holy Ghost comes into your service, if he comes into your home, if he comes in at all, you can expect him to address these stuff. And if daddy's not with us with the word, he's gonna call daddy out. If mama's not with it, call mommy out. If children's not with it, call children out. Right? And you know, I kind of agree with Claude Weisinger on this. In a church, if you sin openly, you're probably going to get rebuked openly. Because you brought it into the open. Right? I haven't said a whole lot about this, you know, but daddy over the home, but you've got a pastor, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm being a pastor to you. I'm telling you the best, what is digging at me down inside and has been. And I'm like, how do you do this? How do we get to where we need to go with this thing? We want to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Okay, let's get lined up with that leadership so it can live through us and do those things. I want a rapture. Okay, let's line up so he'll rapture through us. And so, TV brought it right into the homes. I heard a brother say one time, and I thought, this is pretty good. We should probably do this. You got these movies, and you think they're Christian movies, and I know my family, they can attest to what that in times to see a man and woman go to kiss on the, I get up and walk off. Right? You know why? Because the leadership said kissing and slopping around, and our kids watch that. Our children watch that. Right? And it ought not be. Right? So if daddy's right, he has to say the same thing. If daddy's right, he has to condemn that kind of thing and say, I don't want that influencing my family. He has to, right? If he's compromised, then there's trouble. And the only thing to do is come back to God with it and get it right. Same way with mama. Come back and get it right. Get it right with your leadership. With those that you have not obeyed, that you know is in the chain of command above you, come back and make it right with them, just like daddy would have to make it right with God. That's right. And a church making it right with a pastor right with God. Same thing, because it's that hierarchy, it's that channel. And so, daddy is an umbrella to protect you from Hollywood, protect you from the things that Satan wants to bring in through TV and through music. And I bring music in there because music is a powerful tool. We've talked about this before. Brother Ben Norod went through this a little bit. It's a powerful tool. But I'm going to tell you what music does. There's a reason why we have singing and worship before service. And it's because you've been walking out in the world and you've had to deal with all the things of the world all week, and you're all rough and so forth. And the idea is to come in here and come in and move smoothly into the presence of God and operate smoothly before God. And so music pours out the oil. Music is an anointing. You know, there's a reason why a lot of churches, a lot of times when you're having an altar call, they play music. Because it anoints. It makes it easy. It takes the hard heart and it kind of softens it. And in their mind, they want to give their heart to God, but they hadn't done it yet, you know. And the music kind of begins, and it anoints them, and now it gets people to do something they might not would do without music. Everybody follow me?
Right.
Right. And so you have these, and this brother, I heard a brother say one time, he said, you got your Christian movies and all. He said, turn the volume down on it and then watch it. Take a movie, and I'm not telling you go get a movie, watch it, but just as an example, you get a movie, never seen it before, don't know what it's about, bring it in, you set it down, play it with the volume off, and watch it. And then you turn around and watch it with the music. It's totally different. There's a reason why some of the most powerful, some of the most top-selling music out there is motion soundtracks. Soundtrack to movies. Right? It's a double whammy. Satan getting you with Hollywood and with the music industry by bringing them together, and you get so anointed by that music that it takes you in easily, and you just slide right in and sit there and watch them kiss and slop around on TV when the prophet said you shouldn't. That's right. He said you shouldn't. Right? And yet we've allowed that stuff. And you and I've said this many times, you know, if you've ever met somebody, you see them again, you know them. And if you ever entertain rock music, when that beat comes into your presence, you know what spirits of. I don't care if it does have Christian written on it, you know it's of the devil. That's right. That's why Hollywood is now has made it not just from Hollywood into the homes, but now into the churches. And it's that kind of music that slides them right into believing things and acting out things that's false doctrine. Right? You bring it into a message church and it'll do the same thing. It'll pull that church away from truth over time. That's why we keep it out. That's why as pastor to keep it out. Right? But you as church to be watching that too. Keep it out. Right? So that music is there to anoint and makes it just slippers you all up and you just slide right in to accept whatever Satan wants to give you. You stay away from that stuff. Stay away from Hollywood. Stay away from music, the music that you know is not right. And if you don't know, if you've got a voice down in you that already knows, then you know, and if it agrees with the word. But if you don't know, you got leadership. And what are you going to do with that leadership? If that leadership says, no, don't do that, what are you going to do? Going to go do it anyway? Consequences. And you won't get away from it. Those consequences will get you. And so music, daddy's got to be a protection from those things. And I've seen it. I've watched this stuff over the years. And there's no way around it. God's order has to be. And if you don't, it brings in things that shouldn't. He has to be a protection of the hair, right? You know, hair is a sign for the woman. Her long hair is a sign that she is submissive to her husband, to a leadership, a girl to her daddy or a woman to her husband. That's what her hair is a sign of. And when she cuts her hair off, that means she's got a spirit on her that is not in subjection to her leadership. Right. Same thing with apparel. When she dresses in such a way, it's because now she's wanting to call out to other spirits besides her husband. Or if she's a daughter, she wants to call out to some adulterous, fornicating spirit. She may not think she's doing that, but that's what she's doing. And if you listen to the message, you know Brother Branham made this clear. He said, you might be just as clean as can be with your husband, but on the day of judgment, thus saith the Lord, you'll answer for committing adultery because you presented yourself that way. So if daddy's got the voice of the messenger, if he's staying with it, daddy's got to condemn the thing too. And you're going to say, but please, daddy, I want to wear this dress. It's a little shorter. I know it comes above my knee. Please, daddy, what are you asking the man to do? Think about it. We're a family. We're a group. We got to get this thing together and go together. Right? And so, hair for her, and same thing with men. You're not supposed to have long hair because in the home, you are the top voice. And above Christ anointing you, but in the home, you are that. You are Christ of the home. And so the leadership of the home is not to have a sign on his head that he is not the top voice. He's got to have that. Even the Christ the white winged one. His hair showed who he was. Right? There's a symbol from the hair. Samson had a Nazarite vow and it was shown by his hair. And men are to be men and it's shown by their hair and it's not to have long hair. And a message church would have people coming in, men come in and not say something about it. Brother Ram said, I'll tell you, buddy, you need to go get a haircut. And I'll do the same. And I'm saying that right now when I wanted to get a haircut last night and I put it off because I was so tired. I went ahead and went to bed at about 8 o'clock. But that's the truth, right? And when these things are amiss, you know there's a spirit there that shouldn't be there. That's right. And so hair, clothing, places to go, clothing, covering your nakedness, all of these things are attacking that holy image of God. That you as young people, as you're growing up, God wants you someday, if he's not called you to be single like Paul talked about, and you've got a mate out there that's your mate for life and in eternity, the way Brother Brandon described it. That's yours for eternity. So you've got one out there. And you can't trust your desires or your feel good. Don't live to yourself, right? Your feel, but you want to say, God, I'll take the one you give me. Because the one that you give me, me and that one, will be that holy image of God. And people will be edified, and including our children, will be edified as we stay in that image. But you can't stay in that image if you don't stay with the Word. And so everything I've talked about is to destroy that image. So that bringing these men and these women up to become that, they're defiled before they ever get there. My goodness. If you're going to teach your daughter to wear dresses, how about doing it from birth? Why wait till they're 4, 5, 6 years old before you start telling them? Even Hitler knew, if you give me your child for the first 7 years or whatever, I'll have him for life. Right? Mommy, you got the most power to change the whole world right there in the first 7 years or so forth. Right there, what are you doing? Putting him in front of TV? What are you doing? See? What does the message say? What does your pastor say? What does the leadership of the home say? Go with that, see? And then you know what? You're like, but it's so hectic. I got so much to do, and it's just so easy to put them right there in front of it. I know that. And Satan's banking on that too. But you got to do what the message said. You got to catch the spirit behind it. Get into the revelation of Jesus Christ and realize this is Satan trying to mold my child to be something different so they'll never come to that place to be that holy image of God. Their marriage won't be right. Their dress won't be right. Their minds won't be right. Their whole experience won't be right. Why? Because Hollywood's been their babysitter. And if you look at it, Brother Ram talks about it. Brother Ram talks about it. The wife should raise the children, the wife at home. And he talked very much. Here's that wife to raise the children. And I can't remember which one it is, but I'll find it. But I looked at it last night. You'll be trying to marry some woman, you know, that's really not like she should be. And he said, you'll have babysitters and everything. That's right. Because her place is in the home. We know that. We know what Brother Bram said about that. And a sister working outside the home. We understand that. If you got issues, right, get them fixed and then get back to the place you're supposed to be. But you see, he told us that this ought not be. So you know what? We should have right in front of us, number one, the image of Jesus Christ and his bride. And in there, we don't give our kids off to babysitters so we can go find a new car or something like that. We don't do that. See what I'm saying? We don't. Why? Because we're going to stick with what expresses Jesus Christ more than anything else. And so I'll go back to what I said a while ago. If you want something, ask yourself, is that holy image of God, is it being expressed? If I do this, will that express Christ and his bride in me better? Or is this something that's pulling me away? Am I going to have to compromise something else in his word to do this? And if I do, you know your answer already. And chances are you already know if you have God in there. But always check it with your leadership. All the time at work, when I come up with issues, most of the time I know what to do. Because I already know. But when I come up with something, I'm going, let me be right back. Where do I go? Do I go to Facebook? Do I go to some other? No, I go to my leadership. And I sit down in his office and I say, here's what I got. And we'll discuss it out and work it out, and he'll tell me what I need to do. And that's what I go do. So if you don't know, even if you do think you know, go to your leadership. Go to those who are above you and talk to them. I'm interested in this. What about it, Dad? What about it, Mom? Right? Even if you think you know, remember, you're not the watchman. You'll accept stuff that's wrong because God said it was in that hierarchy. Right? You will. And your best bet is to go right straight up to the leadership before you and that leadership before you until it all wiggles back to the Word. And what the Word says passes down through Daddy, through Mama, right through the children, and the whole family is blessed and Satan's defeated. Break that in any way, Satan gets the fun. Amen. I could go on. I am sorry for being so long-winded this morning, but this is really... I really want to see a move of God.
Yeah.
I do. And I don't mean filling the church. I just want to see God move. I want to see lives changed.
Amen.
Including ours. Amen. And so may the Lord richly bless you. Lord willing, we'll pick this up next time. And I hope that doesn't make you want to say, I think I'll be gone that week. Because I do want to tell you the truth. And we can take it back to scriptures. And you know what? Sometimes, and this is it. You go, well, you know, well, Brother Graham didn't say that. Well, okay. Let's just use this as an example. So, Dad says thus and thus, and family or wife says, well, Brother Graham didn't say that. But if Dad says, well, but this is the way I'm getting this, and this is what I believe, then you go with it, right? Now, if he's off the word, be flat out, that's a different thing, but you go with it because God will never hold you responsible for it, right? But what if he is right and you buck against it? Now guess who gets it? You do. Your leadership is a protection for you, and it's a protection. It's an arrangement that God put there. You get out on the Pentecostal realm and are like, oh, bless God, we're the mighty Pentecostals and we don't need no prophet to tell us what to do. We got the Holy Ghost. You just broke God's system.
Right.
See? Because the Holy Ghost in you will lead you and guide you to truth. And part of that truth is that he's got this role of a prophet to an age and to coming on down into the church. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Listen with the musicians come and we'll just bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, I hear preachers say sometimes it's hard preaching, but that's the way I feel now. Lord, we want to live and walk in truth the best that you've committed to us, and that's what my desire is this morning to express to your people, and they've said, very attentive, Lord, and I know that you've spoken to them. I know that there's things for them to absorb, and I'm asking God for a special blessing upon each one, that you take that which is pricked in their heart and multiply it, Lord. We believe we're living in a late hour, and Lord, there's so much going on that we realize this whole thing can be done soon and may go on for years. We don't know. We're not trying to guess, Lord, but we just want your people to be so fortified and edified and built up in you. Want to share the things that we believe make a difference in their lives. And Lord, as you know my heart, you know that I don't come up with a thought myself. I seek you and I wait. And Lord, I always look to you
that you nod your head and say, here's where I want you to go. It's not just a mental thought. It's what you give to me, Lord. And I'm not a great one. I've just been desiring, endeavoring to be yielded to you, Lord, on behalf of this people, Lord, that I know that you love and I love. We thank you, Lord, for this little group. And it's true what Brother Daniel said, just a wonderful little group. And we know Satan wants to attack it. I pray, God, that you protect us and keep us. We're not a big group, but I was thinking this morning, Lord, I was thinking back over the years and Brother Perryman, when I met him as a little bitty boy, how that his dedicated walk and how that throughout the years provided this little place that we have. And it's not much in the eyes of the world, but Lord, in your eyes, because of your presence, we sit in a mighty cathedral this morning, the cathedral of your presence and divine love that's working among us. We ask, God, that you'd be with us now as we go from this place. Let every heart just ponder on these things. And Lord, anoint us that we can set into action these truths and correct anything that needs to be corrected. We love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship for a little bit.
Oh,
yourself right with God, what are you waiting on? Wait until that last moment, when just a moment, you try to get things straightened out? We don't want to do that. You haven't been baptized? Why? Why have you not been baptized? You haven't been associated with Christ fully according to his word? Why not? What's holding you back? You know that's not God. That's the devil holding you. He wants to get you down to that place where you feel like there's no way out so he can trap you. But God's got grace for you. Amen. You need to make those things right and tally up with him now. And you know, we're not a people that's never made mistakes. We have made mistakes. But the thing is that there's grace to cover it now. And just a moment, making things right with God, can put you in a position where you're as though you never did it in the first place. All that lifted off of you, never to have to answer for it again, because he takes it away from you. So may the Lord richly bless you. Just keep the services in the future in prayer for God to have his way among us. Amen. And try to take the things that you heard today and put them in action.
kick them around. If you have any questions or something about your life you don't understand, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. Go to your mom, your dad. They come to me if they don't know what. We'll work through this. That's what we're here for. But God wants you to be in the image of Christ, in the image of Christ, that holy image of God. Amen. And so may the Lord richly bless you as we go.